Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Well, we're back here with Rupert Ami, who's with Careers, and we left at that you were just leaving Palmas del Mar, and but you walked into another job, I assume.
Well, you know, believe it or not, Jorge, you know, believe it or not, one of the people that used to visit Palmas a lot to play tennis with, there were a couple of people, but one of the ones that were always consistent was Fernando Valverde and Enrique Martí Col, Quique Martí, who already owned Martí Flores Prieto.
Right.
And I would see him in the tennis courts in the weekends, and we would talk, and he would talk to me, and during one of those sessions, he said, you know, I'd like to talk to you. When you have a chance and you leave this place, would you do me a favor and give me a call? So you can imagine what I did. When I left Palmas, the first person I called, it wasn't before, it was after.
Right.
I called him, and it's one of those things like with Fabregas. He said, come on over tonight. I went to his house, and I left his house with a job. So I started in advertising.
You obviously impress well people
I don't
you
know.
Run into.
I've been lucky. No, I don't think
lucky's
so.
Lucky's not.
No,
lucky not.
I've been lucky.
Obviously, what you've achieved, you're very persuasive and very talented.
No,
but
really
anyway, so he gave you the job?
And I started, he wanted to start a new, it wasn't for advertising, he wanted to start a public relations firm. And he started with his first employee was Fernando Valverde as president, and they wanted a general manager, or account senior account executive at that point. And I was Fernando's first employee, and the rest is history. I stayed there for 10 years.
And was that the first public relations?
No, there were other you know, corporate communicators was around. Marisara Pont was starting her out. There were a few starting up, but they were all starting.
Right,
you know,
right. Everybody
who was first, second, who was the pioneer?
Yeah.
We can have discussions till the you know, the ice age comes again. But, you know, to make a long story short, I stayed with them for 10 years. We became the largest public relations firm in Puerto Rico at that point. We had 26 employees. We were billing in those times $6 million worth of public relations.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I left after 10 years with them at that point was Martí Flores Prieto had sold their advertising agency to J. Walter Thompson in an agreement that went over a period of years, but they sold the public relations subsidiary to Hill & Knowlton.
Okay.
And Hill & Knowlton wanted to do changes and I thought at that point I should leave. So again, without another job, I left. And it was in that time that
and you didn't need a career, you know, you had it easy.
Well,
you were able to get jobs
careers.
Without a career.
Well, I did my own career.
Lucky you don't have more people like you around. You'd be out of a job.
You're absolutely right. I was lucky.
Yeah.
At that night I left like a Friday. Saturday there was an event in the St. John's School where my kids were going, and it was a verbena. And I saw Ariel Gutierrez in the verbena, and Ico Montilla and him were putting together a company to build and sell upscale residential condominiums they were going through. And they needed an executive VP to do marketing and sales and coordinate all that, because Ico Montilla did the architect and Ariel and his group did with Henry, the design and construction. But they needed someone to help them with the sales and marketing. So I left the verbena that night with another job, which was their executive vice president of the newly formed Motilla Latimer Gutierrez.
Okay.
And I stayed there for about 2 years. In those 2 years that I was doing real estate and development, one of the people that I bumped into that I had met a long time ago, and this is really a critical part of the story, was Jerry DeMoss. Why do you say, you know, that I had been associated with him in the past? Incredibly enough, when I was in Pete Marwick, remember when Fabregas hired me for that division?
Right.
One of my first clients was Careers Inc.
For consulting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have a study that I still keep a copy of. In 1970. Two or 70 at some point, I think it was 72, I made a study for Jerry on how to reorganize Careers Inc. And I actually billed him for my services, and he paid me. And I got to know Careers Inc. then. Imagine so many years afterwards, I'm in another field, I bump into him, and he says, you know, Rupert, whenever you leave this construction and real estate, I'd like to talk to you because,
People seem to assume that you're going to leave places.
Well, I don't know. I guess so. I'm kind of, they see my nature, and I'm very excited about anything. So I guess it's the body language. And I did leave Gutierrez and Montilla Latimer. And before leaving, though, I went to his office. At this point, I did it the right way. Before resigning, I came to Jerry, and I remember it was on the 16th floor in this building. And I said, you know, I want you to see my resume because I want to leave. I know you told me that I should do this when I decide on leaving, and I think construction real estate, I really want to get into the service sector again. I'd love to get into the advertising and public relations. And he said, really, is that your first option? You know, you should look at other, you know, like what? Well, he said, why don't you come to work for me as the general manager of Careers Inc.? I says, I don't know anything about recruiting. And it sounds to me very dry, very dull. What would I do here, you know? And he looked at me and says, you don't know what you're saying, but all I can tell you is that everything you've learned in life and what I've seen in your career, you're going to put into practice in this company, and you're going to help me take it where I think it should go. So I thought about it, and I said, you know, what do I have to lose? Talked it with my wife, and she's always been very sympathetic with any of my causes. So we tagged on. I said, let's do it. And I walked in here on January 18th, 1988, as general manager. And in 1994, he gave me the opportunity to buy the company. He already had made me president. And I bought the company from him. And
But when you joined, there wasn't any discussion about you buying the company.
I came in as an employee.
And he had various other businesses, so he wanted to sort of leave you in charge of day to day.
I didn't know that. I didn't know what his mindset was. Mm-hmm. He did tell me that he had a general manager at that point here already, Eileen Benitez, that was leaving.
I remember Eileen.
Yeah. Eileen was going to leave him and retire, and she wanted to pension out, and he was looking. And Eileen had been with him forever.
Yeah, I remember.
So he needed to find someone he felt comfortable with. I guess he felt comfortable enough with me to give me that chance. And it was a risk. Of all the decisions I had made, it really was a leap of faith. But I enjoyed Jerry a lot. He was a great salesman as well. And Jerry really gave me libre mano to do anything I wanted. Jerry is an entrepreneur, and like all entrepreneurs, they know about an idea. They know when there's an opportunity for a market, for a type of situation to happen, but they can't put it together for the life of them. You know, they need someone to do that for them. In his case, he had Eileen. Now he needed someone else to follow through. And if Jerry did anything at all for me, is he left me alone. He did show me the business because I did not know what recruiting was. And he taught me everything that I know about recruiting.
And for all those who don't know, Jerry passed away about a year.
Yeah, Jerry, unfortunately, we lost him
a great
in
citizen,
November.
Yeah, Rotary, November fellow Rotarian, a great citizen, a member, president of Chamber, no?
Yeah.
I mean, a great member, so we lost.
He was a great guy. He died in Florida. He had already retired. When I bought, I made sure that he had his office here. He always had an office here until 2-3 years before he died. Basically, you know, he left. He had a home and got sick and died. So we lost him in November.
I'm interviewing Rupert Ami. He's my guest today. Rupert, in terms of that transition, the purchase with you know, Jerry DeMoss's, and he was the sole owner.
Yeah.
Was that a smooth, that very, very smooth? A lot of conflict there,
no.
A lot of negotiations, very easy.
It was done over a period of months. It was not, you know, sit down, let's talk, let's bring in the lawyers. The lawyers came in at the end to sign the paperwork, but we basically hashed it out. He and I, Jerry had a style, you know. Number one, he has a historic typewriter that we keep around here, Royal typewriter.
Uh-huh.
And the old typewriters, you know, and that's how he would do his emails. He never had a computer in his desk, never saw him with a computer in his desk. And he did everything in his typewriter and little notes. He would use the back of envelopes to write so he would save on paper. And that's how we put the deal together. You know, it was a napkin envelope type of deal. And adding and subtracting were not the issues.
How to pay the amount.
Yeah, and paying the amount was not even an issue as to how to divide it. And the lawyers made it more, you know, I'm sorry, I know you're
no,
a lawyer.
That's true.
The lawyers sort of made it more interesting. I don't want to use the word complicated. But they did, you know, they put the final touches on how a legal document. So you know, that's the way it was done. But it was hashed out between he and I and napkins over lunches and envelopes. And I would go home, I would add, I would say, Jerry, you left this out. No, I didn't. I wanted to do this. And we meet again, then napkins and envelopes.
So there was a negotiation going on, but it was
no, and we kept our role.
No,
we kept our roles.
I
kept my role. We never discussed it outside the office. Their office, at that point, we had about 15 people. No one knew that we were doing this. When we announced it was an already done deal. On his part, he had Alex Olisadishi come in, and Don Kivane, at that point, was our auditor, and Don Kivane's firm is still our auditor.
How was the price established?
Well, the basically...
Between the two of you, or there was a third-party objective?
No. I don't know if he talked with someone else, but I'm sure he did. It was basically, I think, more of a... What was the amount of money that he felt that it was worth? Then there was no mathematical formulation.
Yeah, no objective. No going to an expert. Looking at some kind of...
No,
form. It was his
no
subjective feeling, and you feeling
yeah,
that it was,
you know,
relatively close to what you thought was
I
fair.
I knew what we were billing. I knew what the expenses were, and so did he. And he came up with a figure that I never questioned. The figure that he gave me was never questioned.
Okay.
It was how I should go about paying him that was, to
sure.
me, the biggest ordeal in
you
but
feel,
even
you
that...
Feel, you feeling comfortable that you
oh,
could...
Oh, no. In fact, he made me feel totally comfortable.
Yeah. And then you went, then you were on the other side recently.
Then,
yeah,
well,
that was,
yeah, then many
tell
years.
Tell us about your transition to this...
Well, many years went by, and at that point, I have to tell you that we were billing $1.5 million, maybe $1.4 million when he sold the company. When I decided on selling the company, we were close to $5 million. So the company had grown. It was a little more complicated. We had 20 some odd people already, 25, 24 people. And at that point, I did the same thing. I gave a figure that was not substantiated by anyone. It was a figure I felt was fair because I had to sell it to the people that helped me put the business where it was. So here I am, you know, $5 million or $4 million after, the same people that helped me get there, I'm telling them, okay, I want you to buy me, and because of what you've done such a great job, this is the price you're going to have to pay. So, you know, I did a lot of soul searching, and I think I came up with a figure that was satisfactory, and I think it was because they reacted. They reacted very well to it. And we put the deal together again.
Lawyers complicated it again.
Well, they did at the end, but, you know, they did a fine job. They had to, you know, there were a lot more paperwork than ever before.
Yeah.
I remember Jerry.
And you didn't retain any ownership. You turned everything over.
No, at that point, what I did was originally when I bought the company from Jerry, I bought 100% of the company, but I paid him only for 60%. And the 40%, I divided it and gave the people that were helping me throughout this whole process, even in the time that I was with Jerry, the two consultants that really helped me a lot, which was Carla Dayo and Ruth Gonzalez.
Okay.
But when I sold the 60 of my own 60, then we brought in a third consultant, which was Clara Miyama. At that point, she had been with us for about 10 years.
Okay, so basically when you purchased with other partners, so you weren't the only stockholder, the only owner.
No, when I purchased from Jerry, I purchased myself.
By yourself, but then little by little you gave.
Then
you
little
on,
by little, I what see. I did was I gave them participation. Okay, as I was paying to Jerry, I paid my part, but the other part that I could have paid for, I let them pay for.
Okay, so
and
yeah,
so
yeah.
they. I brought yeah. them in
so
gradually. That,
so this transition was very gradual over
oh,
many
yeah.
years.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, it was, and Jerry got paid out over a 5-6 year period.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it wasn't like one of these deals. Yeah, the day that we signed the final papers, I had to give him a lump sum, which I did. But the remaining part of the monies were gradually over that period of years.
Yeah. Fantastic. We have to take another break, Rupert. I'm with Rupert Ami. We'll be back after this break.